Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
This is Neil Amato with FM Magazine. In this episode, you'll learn tips on negotiation from speaker and author Sara Lashever. Senior editor Sabina Vollmer had the chance to speak with Sara, the author of several books, on the basic skills we can learn to become successful negotiators. Here's Sabina.
I'm here with Sara Lashever. She's a co-author of Women Don't Ask and Ask For It. She's a lecturer and negotiations trainer. And we're going to talk about negotiations and negotiation skills. Sara, to begin a negotiation, what are the first key steps?
Well, the first step is to do your preparation. Most of what happens, most of what you get in a negotiation is dependent on how well you prepare. So you need to do your research. You need to find out what other people who have your education, your credentials, your experience, what they're getting, not just in terms of money, but in terms of opportunities. And you also need to research the context, what's going on in the environment, with the organization, with your boss, that might influence what he or she is able to give you.
Are there some key pieces of information that you should research about the other side before a negotiation?
Well, how well the organization is doing, how well the profession is doing. You know, if there's an economic crisis, as there was after 2008, whether that has influenced the industry. But also, if your boss is putting out fires, is, you know, in the middle of a crisis, that might not be the best time to ask. Also, you want to find out, say, for example, when their fiscal year closes. You don't want to do all this preparation, go in and have them say, well, we closed the budget 3 weeks ago. It's too late for this year.
Are there particular places you would go to find the best information?
Well, the web is a great resource. There's a lot of data on the web, both data that's industry specific, but also that's broken down by region, because there are regional differences, and not just how much people are paid, but whether there are a lot of people like you in that region. You also want to talk to your social and professional networks, not necessarily ask people what they make, because that's a little awkward, but say, do you think someone with this experience, these credentials, you know, these years of work in the field, what should that person be asking for? What's the range of salary? What next steps, you know, should I ask? Maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do this. Ask about speed. Am I moving fast enough? Could I, you know, ask for something that would accelerate my career progress? You can also say to someone, I really admire your career. Would you be willing to tell me about crucial turning points, important decisions, how you got where you are? Or you could say, this is where I am, that's where I want to go. Can you give me some advice about how to get from here to there? It's very important for women to talk to men as well as women, because women only make 78% of what men make. So you could be talking to people, if you're just talking to women, who don't understand what the market really will pay. Also, men tend to think about what they can do in terms of their potential. Women tend to think about what they can do in terms of what they've already demonstrated and proven they can do. So if you ask a man, this is what I want to do, I haven't done it before, what do you think? Thinking about you the same way he thinks about himself, he might say, go for it, you'd be great at that. Whereas if you ask a woman, again, thinking about you the same way she thinks about herself, she might say, so tell me what's on your CV again.
What makes some people better negotiators than others, and are some people naturally better negotiators? Which leads me to the question, are negotiation skills nature, nurture, or mostly preparation?
I would say it's a combination of all three. So men in our society are socialized as children to be more aggressive, to go in there, stick up for themselves, get what they want. Women are socialized to be good-natured, be cheerful, be socially caring, to be a little more compliant, and to wait to be invited and offered. So women reach adulthood a little less confident, a little less sure it's okay to ask for what they want. So there's the socialization piece. Then as adults, women tend to be excluded or just peripheral to a lot of the social and professional networks where men share a lot of information. So often people in charge know about opportunities coming down the pike, resources that have just come in, and they mention it to people in their networks. So women need to get that information. So that's where the preparation piece is particularly important for women, but really important for both. But lastly, I want to say that men are more likely to take an adversarial zero-sum, I win, you lose approach to negotiating. And women tend to take a more collaborative problem-solving approach. And 40 years of negotiation scholarship have shown that women's approach is actually superior. That more collaborative problem-solving, what are your issues, what are your needs, these are mine, tend to produce better agreements for both sides. So women's natural or typical approach to negotiation is actually superior to men's, but women don't know that. We think of negotiation as a more adversarial undertaking.
Are there generational differences in how people approach negotiations?
Not so much as you might think. Younger women tend to think, oh, it's an even playing field. I know what men are asking for. I'm asking for and getting the same things. And the research doesn't bear that out. Men are, as I said, socialized just to go after what they want a little bit more in a little bit, you know, a more forthright way. And it makes a big difference. It really does. So one reason women don't negotiate more is because they get more pushback. We don't like aggressive women in our society, and it's not just men who don't like them. Other women also react badly. So women aren't sure how to do that. And behavior that's fine in men often is deemed, you know, too much, overbearing, difficult in women. That's where this more cooperative problem-solving approach really stands women in good stead, because it really works better, but women don't know that.
Are there some basic rules or thumb that you should keep in mind during any negotiation?
Well, I'm a big fan of building a sense of alliance. We're similar. People who feel, you know, we're kind of the same are more likely to want to do business. The other thing is you should go in prepared to show why you think you're bringing this much value to the organization. So if you want to bring your CV, bring your awards, bring your evaluations from clients, anything that can show, yes, I'm actually really valuable and I'm worth what I'm asking. Also the market research, what other people, you know, not just in the industry at large, but in your organization's competitors. Because if they think, our direct competitors are doing this, we want to retain these good people, we should do it too.
Is it worthwhile to do a self-assessment of strengths and weaknesses to become a better negotiator or to become a good negotiator?
Well, as I said, you really want to talk about your value, what you're bringing to the organization. So you want to look at that, really basically assess your bargaining power. And you're in a good position because of this, you know, great client you brought in or this excellent evaluation you just got, or whatever it is that makes you valuable to the organization. And there's a double benefit. It's not just that, you know, you can show this, but if you have some weaknesses, you can try to repair them. You can, you know, if you don't want to do this negotiation next week, you can try to find a powerful mentor to tell you what you need to do. You can maybe get a continuing education credit or do some, you know, advanced training, get another certificate, something like that. Maybe repair a relationship that could be critical, or find another way to overcome a weakness, or show, yes, actually, I did make that mistake, but I haven't made that mistake in these six subsequent relationships, professional relationships.
When I think of negotiations, I think of I'm going into a situation where I want something that the other might not want to give me.
Uh-huh.
So there is some conflict resolution built in. How do you deal with that? Do you just ignore it and go down your list and do what you need to do? Or do you need to be sensitive about that?
Definitely need to be sensitive about that. Good way to start is we have a lot of shared interests here. You want me to be able to be as productive as possible, to bring as much to the organization as I can. I have some things that I'd like from you. Let's talk about it. So start with, this isn't adversarial. We're on the same side. We have a lot of shared interests. But ask questions. What are your problems with giving me what I want? Why are you feeling that this isn't fair? Get the other side to explain their point of view, because it may be that they are proceeding according to a misunderstanding that you can clear up. Or there may be a problem they have or a barrier that you can solve or remove. Or their resistance is time limited. They can't give it to you now, but they could in 6 months or a year. You could get the agreement now. So the asking questions is a really key part of negotiation, drawing the other person out, because you don't just get information, but you also show that you care about their problems and you build this sense of alliance I was talking about.
Women going into negotiations, knowing that men are more adversarial about their position, should you, as a woman going into a negotiation, should you adjust the way you approach things in the negotiation, depending on whether you sit opposite a woman or a man?
Well, basically, two women negotiating together tend to reach better agreements for both sides. So if you're facing a man, it's going to feel a little bit different. I think you should use these same techniques I described, asking questions, listening, expressing interest and concern for their problems, try to bring them around to this collaborative approach. But if you can't, if they won't come, basically, then you do need to adjust. But you need to be careful not to come off as too aggressive or threatening, because then you're going to get more pushback. So continue to smile, use a relaxed, upbeat tone of voice, use open, relaxed body language.
How much is transparency important in negotiations? Because can you give away too much?
You can. I'm not a big fan of bluffing. I think that for the most part, it doesn't work very well. It can backfire if somebody finds out that you were bluffing. They don't trust you. They smear your reputation. They don't want to negotiate with you in the future. So I don't recommend lying, but I don't think you want to show all your cards immediately. One of the things about most negotiations is that they tend to be about more than one thing. They're about titles, they're about resources, they're about office size, they're about how many people you're supervising. So it's good to kind of sense how things are going and maybe turn to something you think will be easier to talk about if you're getting a little resistance to something that's more important. And it's not a bad idea to concede something small at the beginning, because then people think, oh, I need to reciprocate. Actually, they don't think it consciously, but subconsciously, our inclination to reciprocate when someone does a favor, as we call it, is pretty strong. Overall, though, I recommend negotiating the package, not negotiating one item at a time. So I could do this, that, and the other thing if you could do these two things. Or if that doesn't work, we could put the puzzle pieces together this way. And that helps clarify for both sides what's most important.
Do finance professionals already have skills that make them good negotiators? And are there skills that they need to work on?
Well, finance professionals tend to be great at the data piece, data collection, data analysis. So that research piece, they're often very good at. It depends on whether they're in a client-facing role, whether they have those social skills, those interpersonal skills to create that more problem-solving tenor to the relationship. I guess I would say another problem finance professionals often have is that they often rightly think they're really smart, or maybe the smartest person in the room under many circumstances. Showing that tends to antagonize people a little. So I would be careful not to go in with, you know, this is what I know, this is what I want, this is clearly justified, give it to me.
Is there other advice that you would give finance professionals who want to become better negotiators?
Well, if they don't have those interpersonal skills, or they feel a lot of anxiety or stress, it's going to be a big deal. The stakes are pretty high for them. This negotiation matters. It's appropriate to feel some anxiety, some stress if the stakes are high. strongly recommend role-playing, actually. Get together with someone you trust, brief them about the negotiation, tell them what you think might make you lose your composure or embarrass you, insult you, make you angry, and then practice. Run it through several times. Get them to take it seriously, really push your buttons, and then practice calm, composed responses that move things away from conflict or away from those emotional flashpoints to that more problem-solving space. We have some issues. We have some conflict here. Let's keep talking. Let's see if we can work things out. Let's see if we can meet partway if you can't give me all I'm asking for, or tell me what you think would be more appropriate. Really good to practice these responses in your role play. So if whatever you're worried about happens, you're prepared. But also if it happens and your emotions are triggered, you won't be surprised. And it turns out it's the surprise as much as the feeling itself that tends to throw people off. They're like, oh, what just happened? How do I feel about it? And they want to leave. And so they say, okay, I'll take whatever it is. And they run out of the room.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you think is important and you want to add?
I would say aim high. This is particularly important for women, but overall, how much you get out of a negotiation is directly correlated with what you're hoping for, what you're aiming for. Don't focus on your bottom line. This is the minimum I'd accept, because if you do, as soon as you get it, you'll take it, leave some value, leave some potential on the table. But as I said, it's more important for women than men. Men tend to ask for 30% more than women overall. And there's data showing if you ask for 30% more, you have a good chance of getting 10% more. And over the course of a career where raises are, built on whatever you were earning previously, a percentage of your previous salary, that 10% can add up to tons of money by the end of your career. So aim high.
Thank you, Zara, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.